Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, what the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is our passage from God's Word this morning. As we come to this passage this morning, thinking of the Christmas season, let us recall that this is an account that we have read this morning. This is an account of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. An account, Luke tells us, he compiled from various eyewitnesses and ministers of the word by the time of the early 80s, 60s had come around, and they had been handed down to him and told to him all of these accounts and documents. They'd been given to Luke himself and to other disciples with him. And from these, Luke brought them together. He brings together this narrative account of all of these events expressed purposefully, done purposefully, specifically for the helping of those who would read his record of these documents, to help them be certain of the things that they were being taught about the person of Jesus Christ. Hence, not only are we holding and reading here in our hands a translation of an inspired document written by Luke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but we're also holding and reading in our translations a compilation of several inspired documents, several eyewitnesses' accounts with a scope, when you think of it, that is truly mind-boggling. How all of this has come together and been brought together. This is to say that out of all the eyewitness testimonies and the source documents spanning thousands of years prior to the birth of Christ, along with all the eyewitness accounts and the documents that were collected and preserved after Jesus' birth, when they were compiled into biblical canon, could withstand the cross-examination of every possible method of criticism and every scientific field of inquiry known to man. and remain an impeccable testimony by which whose readers may be certain of what continues to be taught to them today about the person of Jesus Christ. Some 2019 years after the birth of Christ and counting. Such a scope and magnitude of the text we hold in our hands this morning is magnificent. And we'd be hard-pressed to give an explanation as to how it's even possible for such a text to be written apart from the Almighty, Sovereign God, of whom the text itself testifies. And if such is the testimony of Holy Scripture, as it is, the thrust of God's desire for humanity to have certainty concerning the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, is overwhelmingly undeniable. Certainty. However, as our passage this morning will make clear, though certainty is clearly God's initial priority for His people, it falls short of where God would have us end. So let's keep it in perspective. Indeed, the greater part of our faith belongs to a hearty trust worked in us by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, that not only to us, but also, the forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. And hence the angel addresses the shepherds. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And thus the angel speaks in verse 10 of our passage. But let us regress momentarily and first consider what Luke would have us understand as we arrive at this point in our text. As we finish up Matthew's record of the gospel over the course of the next few weeks, our plan is to work our way through Luke's record of Acts. And what we will discover is that one characteristic of Luke's writings is that he likes to ground religious and spiritual matters in events in history. And the opening of our passage this morning it just happens to be one prime example of this characteristic of Luke's writing. As he describes these events surrounding Jesus' birth, and he connects them to a decree that went out from Caesar Augustus. Now, Augustus is a character. He became the Roman Empire's first official emperor shortly after leading candidate for emperor to Rome, before he had become emperor, that's Julius Caesar, was murdered in 44 BC. Hence the honorary title of Caesar that's taken by Rome's emperors, symbolizing association with adoption into the family line of Julius Caesar. And therefore, rightfully understood as the heir to the title of Emperor of Rome. However, it wasn't until 13 years later, after 44 BC, when Augustus ascended to emperor, that he would actually rule as the lone emperor over the entire Roman Empire. And he achieved this by defeating Mark Antony and Cleopatra at the Battle of Actium in 31 BC. And it's well documented and beyond interesting that this victory ended the power struggles within the Roman Empire and ushered in the 45-year reign of Caesar Augustus, from 31 BC to AD 14. And it was a time known simply as the Golden Age of Rome. a time of peace. That's interesting, right? Especially when we consider that it was a decree for registration by Augustus, the emperor of peace, that just so happened to put into motion a course of events that would lead Joseph and a very pregnant Mary to journey 80 miles from their home in Nazareth of Galilee to the region of Judea, to Bethlehem, where upon arrival, Mary would give birth to her firstborn son in an animal stable on account of there not being a suitable place at the inn for the delivery of a child. And of all the possible things that we can imagine that may have been on Caesar's agenda when he made this decree for registration, we may be certain that ensuring that Mary would give birth to her firstborn son in Bethlehem of Judea, the city of David, was not one of them. And in the same regard, we may be certain that traveling 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem was not something that Joseph and Mary were planning on as they were preparing for the birth of this very special child. Nor was it in their intent upon arrival that this child should be delivered in an animal stable. And yet, all of these things, temporal things of this world, spiritual things above this world, particulars, universals, they were all being worked together in order to bring to pass precisely what God had decreed before the foundations of the world, which included, as we can see, even the smallest of second causes that lead to the fulfillment of His decree. Such as the timing of Augustus's decree, the unsuitability of the inn for the delivery of a child, the availability of a stable. Every detail of history set in its place, not for Caesar's purpose, not for Joseph and Mary's purpose, but for God's purpose, for which He sends a single angel to announce to the shepherds who are keeping watch over their flocks on the hills outside of Bethlehem, to say, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Behold, the Word of God in its proclamation, in its promising of a sign, and in its interpretation, as a host of heavenly angels suddenly appears, praising and glorifying God in the highest, and declaring peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. This is the good news of a great joy for all people, of whom God clearly intends for us to have certainty. He proclaims it. He gives a sign. The angels from heaven interpret it, heralding the fitting of the only Son of God, sent by God from heaven to earth, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born to you this day to a virgin in the city of David. Of this knowledge, there can be no doubt that God wants us to be certain of it. But to what purpose? To what end? Perhaps by following the shepherds, we'll soon see. Luke tells us that the shepherds, having gathered themselves after the departure of the angels, decided to go to Bethlehem, fully expecting to see what God had made known to them. Clearly, they knew for certain what the Lord had made known to them, and leaving their sheep in haste, they certainly believed what the Lord had been told to them they would find.
But yet they desired even more. They desired more. Even more of the certainty of seeing this sign, seeing this child, just as the angels had told them. And having found Joseph and Mary and the child who was wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, just as the angels had told them, what could they do but to tell everyone what the Lord had made known to them? In effect, recounting the angel's proclamation, pointing to the sign, the child in the stable, and even echoing the hosts of heaven's interpretation as they returned to their flocks, praising and glorifying God for all that they had heard and seen. And therein lies the purpose of a certain knowledge of Jesus Christ. The praising and the glorifying of God, grounded in the certainty of the good news that on that day in history of this world, very near the time of the year that we're in now, 2019 years ago in Bethlehem, the city of David, in a stable, was born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord, just as the Scriptures have said. And as the shepherds departed, praising and glorifying God, Luke tells us that everyone who heard the shepherds that night wondered at what they were told. The Greek behind this translation, wonder, can mean either extraordinarily impressed or disturbed. Now, which it is, in this case, by itself, doesn't give us much insight as to how it is to be interpreted. However, Luke does give us a small clue as to which way he is leaning by contrasting those who wondered with Mary, whom he recounts as having treasured up all these things in her heart. Remember, it was only 9 months ago when Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth and found out for certain that everything was just as the Lord had made known to her. And she praised and glorified God. And it'd be easy to understand how the unexpected hardships brought about by the timing of this decree, such as the inopportune journey to Bethlehem and the humble delivery of this child, this special child, in an animal's stable. It's easy to understand how this could have been somewhat disappointing or confusing for both Mary and Joseph. Such great anticipation and excitement only to wind up in an animal stable in Bethlehem. Imagine, if you will, for just a moment, what a change in mood it must have been for Mary and Joseph that night, when a group of hasty shepherds found out for certain that everything was just as the Lord had made known to them. And like Mary at Elizabeth's house, they started praising and glorifying God, telling all that were there what they had been told about this very special child. None of this was what Mary and Joseph expected or intended, though the journey had been difficult and the birth humbling. God was sure that Mary and Joseph knew for certain that He was behind every detail, working all things together for the good news of a great joy for all people, born to us that night in Bethlehem, just as God had promised. O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. And then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God. And they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And he shall be their peace. Of all these things we may be certain, for God has revealed them to us in his word. But this Christmas, may we also join the hosts of heaven and all those on earth with whom God is pleased in praising and glorifying God in the highest for sending us his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.